Okay, let me officially welcome everyone to Momentum Mastery Monthly. This is our inner peace call for the month, and I'm very excited about our topic here for today. Last week, we actually spoke about creating sustainable inspiration, and if you happen to miss it, it is posted in the forum, or you can look for it on CD. If you're getting that subscription, if you would like to be getting those CDs each month so that you can listen to these calls again and again, you simply need to go to lifecoachmary.com/momentum, and for $37.88 a month, you can tap into this resource of having both CDs shipped to you, as well as get the transcripts for these calls. Peace. So tonight, we're going to be talking about the key to inner peace. And I was kind of joking earlier that, of course, there's many keys, but if there's a granddaddy of them all, what we're going to talk about tonight is the big one. If all you did is focus on this single one key, you would have tremendous, tremendous inner peace in your life. So we're going to talk about one of the single biggest keys to experiencing greater freedom, power, and fulfillment. We're going to talk about six ways that we unknowingly create added stress and suffering. And of course, once we understand these added ways and get conscious about them, we really have the ability to shift and not do those self-torturing things to ourselves anymore. We're going to talk about how to separate out reality from the meaning, story, interpretation that we attach to it so that we can have a lot more sanity and ease in our lives. And we're going to talk also about what it really means to accept all three levels of reality in our life so that we can enjoy greater success and everyday inner peace. And we're also going to talk a little bit about and one other bonus that I will share as we get to that. So, what is this one single biggest key to experiencing greater freedom, power, and fulfillment? And that key is embracing reality. Embracing reality. And it sounds like, okay, really? Embracing reality, that's it? It's kind of an esoteric concept, and yet, when we really start to dive into this more closely, we can really see that this is the single biggest key to inner peace. So we say embracing reality. So good to know what we're talking about. Reality is whatever is really happening in the present moment, in actuality. It's not what you think should be happening. It's not what you hope to be happening. It's not what happened 15 minutes ago. It's really what's happening right here and now in the present moment. And as we can create a profound relationship with reality, our level of inner peace skyrockets. We want to take a very simple concept, and that is when we fight reality, we create stress. Just really to take that in for a minute. When we fight reality, we create stress. And when we push against anything, we talked quite a bit about resistance in Momentum Mastery. And resistance virtually always leads to stress and suffering. Unless, of course, we're just, you know, totally embracing our resistance, then we might, again, find some embracing of any reality is going to result ultimately in peace. When we embrace reality, we have the ability to, we really have the ability and the power to choose consciously. We can more rest in a place of peace. We can shape our future. We can give our gifts more fully, instead of just remaining a victim to reality, which is often what people's relationship is. It's like, wow, it's just, oh, it's like this is happening to me, the, you know, the economy or what's going on in government or what's happening in over in the Middle East. Like all of that and sort of emotionally being victim to all kinds of circumstances. So when we embrace reality, we're connected to the voice of spirit. We can really allow ourselves to live in flow. We've really got access to the here and the now. So we want to really explore here in today's call this whole idea of embracing reality, because it is one of the single biggest keys to experiencing greater freedom, power, fulfillment, inner peace. This is it. So let's just look at one other piece, and that is, you know, anytime we're in a place of resistance, we can almost always recognize that there is a stressful thought that is resisting reality of some sort. So you can try this out and even get curious in your own experience. Like if you notice, you know, think about a situation that you haven't felt 100% at peace at or peace with recently, and just look and see, so what thoughts am I attached to or believing? I was talking a little bit earlier with Juanita on the line. Right now I've got the lines muted, but you know, the idea of speaking up publicly, how before may, you know, was something, you know, coming on one of these calls and more, you know, hanging on the wall and listening in, taking in, absorbing the information, but, you know, really to look at, you know, what might be, you know, the belief or thought about what it means to speak up. You know, some kind of resistance to that. And we may just check in with her a little bit later on about exactly, you know, what was at play there. Because I guarantee anytime there's not peace, you know, there's more than likely some kind of thought lurking nearby. And as we begin to investigate those thoughts, they begin to lose their hypnotic power and really allow us to return to peace and really more consciously adopt more empowering thoughts and beliefs to dance with in life. Okay, so let's talk about embracing reality. Let me read this quote. It's a great quote here by Byron Katie. Reality is good just as it is, because when we argue with it, we experience tension and frustration. We don't feel natural or balanced. When we stop opposing reality, actions become simple, fluid, kind, and fearless. Really take that in. When we stop opposing reality, action becomes simple, fluid, kind, and fearless. Yeah. So, if we know this is true, and we know that when we begin to really fully embrace reality, that we can have a greater sense of emotional freedom, meaning that we're free of any kind of negative emotions, we've got the power to make more conscious choices. We may, and I've heard many, many spiritual teachers say, really, enlightenment is recognizing reality exactly as it is. That's really all enlightenment is. Most of us just have such a distorted and twisted experience of reality that, you know, entrapped by the mind, but enlightenment ultimately comes out of embracing reality clearly. When we're embracing reality, we really have a sense of unconditional love for all parts of ourselves. We experience a tremendous sense of peace. There's room for greater authenticity. We're not resisting ourselves. We can have deeper connections with others. And we can experience a greater sense of creativity and flow in life. You know, it kind of makes sense, right? If you're going down a river and there's a dam that's covering, you know, all but maybe, you know, 2 or 3 feet of that river, like the only way through the river is if you get through that one kind of tiny spot. So like a lot of things can get jammed up. And when we remove the resistance, it's sort of like moving a big wall, you know, in the middle of a river. it just allows things to flow more easily. So let's look at these three levels of reality. So first level of reality is the world. And if we were to embrace the world, so that means accepting the world as it is, both what is perceived as good and that which is perceived as bad. So we know the world is filled with all kinds of varieties of love and kindness and beauty and abundance and the arts and plant life and oceans and mountains, right? It's also, you know, we've got shopping centers and farms and cities, lots of choices. But part of the world also includes things like hunger and war, crime, violence, injustice, accidents, the media, disease, layoffs, right? So there's all these elements in the world. Of course, we don't want our children to get sick. We don't want to be in a car accident. No one really wants war or crime, although I'm sure there are some companies that stay in business as a result of that. But I think fundamentally, none of us want war. None of us want other people to be hurt. But when these things happen, how can it be helpful to argue with them? To really sit with that. How can it be helpful to argue with them? There are a lot of people who have aged themselves and lost their hair, maybe even lost their jobs because they've gotten so distracted and frustrated about the wars going on in the Middle East. They're not even over there in the war, but just their emotional argument and fight with this aspect of the world that happens to be included right now is creating a lot of internal suffering for them. And, of course, we can look on the outside and see somebody doing that and say, well, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. And yet, as we take a closer look, we might see, well, you know, how am I doing that? How am I fighting against some aspect of the world? The weather falls into this category and pushing against that, not something that we can control. What's going on in the government, whether you like it or don't like it, it's like, you know, how much energy are we going to waste pushing against what's going on in Washington, D.C.? So just notice where you are with that. You know, is there anything that you're arguing with in the world as it is? You know, it shouldn't be happening. So that's one level of reality, is the world. And just take note. Anything that you may be pushing against about world circumstances. Next big level of reality is people, right? And, of course, here we get a variety of people here in the world, right? They can be kind and friendly and loving and warm and gracious and joyous and harmonious and open and responsible, understanding, humble. But people can also be judgmental and deceptive and manipulative and dishonest. They can be argumentative, even abusive. They can be selfish. They can be rude. They can be preoccupied. All right? They can be apathetic or indulgent. And when we think about embracing people, you know, this level of reality of people, that we really want to get that as we accept people as they are, that means all of the characteristics and actions of all people. If there's certain things people do and we're kicking and screaming because they're doing it, because they're not living into the fantasy of who we want them to be, how much stress and suffering are we going to create for ourselves by, you know, by pushing against that emotionally, mentally, even, you know, physically sometimes with them and getting into arguments, you know, don't be like this, right? So that is That's the second level of reality, is people. And, you know, we check in with the question, do you really want to dictate how another individual chooses to be in the world? Well, there's some people that have come down here on planet Earth to be humanitarians and give and really create value for the world. There's other people that are just lazy, that want to feed off of a welfare system, or maybe they want to take from others, harm others. And I'm certainly not advocating, gosh, you know, it's so great for people to go out and just be who they are, harm people. No, not at all. But my answer is not to experience pain and suffering every time somebody does something that isn't seen as a positive in the world. Now we want to get to the third level of reality, and that is you. Yes, you are a level of reality. And when we really embrace you on all levels, embrace the reality of you, that means accepting all of who you are. All of who you are. That means all those good qualities that you love about yourself and all the things about yourself that you try not to be, that, you know, maybe you learned as a little girl or a little boy that it wasn't nice to be outspoken, or it wasn't nice to put yourself first. It wasn't nice to, it's not nice to disappoint others. And yet, when we really get that speaking up is good, and we've got good qualities, we've got the lazy side of us, and we've got the inspired side of us. And to really get that both sides really make up who we are, this perfect mixture. So here's another quote from I Ching that goes, "It is only when we have the courage to face things exactly as they are, without any self-deception or illusion, that a light will develop out of events by which the path to success may be recognized." And so true that, you know, as we really just see ourselves, you know, flaws and all, and just can let ourselves hang out in the spirit of transparency and authenticity, that really out of all of this, success can be realized. So let me just check in and see, how, right now, you know, what would you say is your current relationship with reality? Is it really good? Is it, oh, fine, except for when, you know, things are running late or you're in traffic? Is it your relationship with reality is pretty good, except for maybe when you get depleted or angry or hungry or tired of some sort? And I'm going to just check with those of you that are in the forum. You can pop in any kind of response. You know, what's your relationship with reality? And I'm going to open up the phone lines. Who would be willing to jump in and share a little bit about, oh, what's your current relationship with reality?
As you were going through those, I do not fight reality. I'm getting better at myself and others. But when I look at the world, somehow I have a belief that I am not able, there's something wrong with me having a good life when someone else is suffering.
Okay.
And I have been working on that, trying to identify it, and it's very deep-seated, and I haven't quite come to a clear identification with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets me. If someone else is having a problem, then it somehow is my responsibility to fix it. And I don't have a cutoff point there as to what to do with that and how to decipher overgiving. And so I've started to approach that by saying, who are you, Anita, right now? What have you got to give? Where are you right now that you could look at other people? And I'm trying to go at it from a point of keeping my focus on myself and then making sure that I have the resources to give if someone is just stating something that they need, or the people around me. It's getting clear what is their responsibility and what is mine.
Right, which is really, really good and great to recognize. So a couple things here. First off, thank you for sharing that openly, that, hey, you know, there's some things that about the world that make it really hard for you to experience peace, and I bet you're not the only one that feels that way. And we can point to, at least here you've shared at least a couple thoughts that you get attached to, that, you know, if somebody else is, there's some kind of rule that it's hard for you to enjoy your good life if somebody else is suffering. So that's a rule or a belief. Also, this, it's your responsibility to fix if somebody else is suffering.
Right.
You know, that's an interesting rule. There's a great quote by Larry Eisenberg. You might want to write this one down. It says, "For peace of mind, we need to resign as general manager of the universe."
I like that.
Uh-huh. You know, and you know, I certainly, I'm in a profession that's very much about helping and supporting people. And so the way I choose to dance with that is not to suffer because, oh my gosh, you know, I haven't gotten to everybody yet, and there's still people that are suffering. Instead, it's, you know, am I doing everything I can in this moment? You know, the moment that I'm here right now, in this moment, I'm on this call with all of you. So I'm here and available. And if I'm doing my best, I might not even, you know, get everybody out of their pain and suffering here tonight. I'm not going to pretend to be the magician of all magicians. But you know, if I'm doing my best, then, you know, what more can I do?
Right.
Right.
That is very, very helpful. I could see how I was wanting to manage people, and I could see how I was wanting to paint a picture of myself that was only perfect. And now that you've put it this way, something clicked inside of me that those words that I need to resign as manager of the world somehow... That clicked.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, you can play with that one. And great. It probably does mean you'll continue to help and contribute. It sounds like you're a huge giver. And, you know, boy, I know, like, how can your suffering, you know, really help? You know,
right.
If I meet you in suffering, you know, am I going to be fully available to, you know, make a difference? Probably less than.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find the more I'm at peace, the better resource I am.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And Michael, checking with you, what's your relationship with reality like?
I think my relationship with reality is pretty good. You know, I deal pretty good with circumstances, with people. Where I probably feel that I could do better is when it comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes find myself in a situation where I'm reacting a certain way, and then I have to stop and step back and get take a look at the bigger picture and figure out, is this really who I am, or is this just a bad habit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that sometimes, well, actually, pretty often, it's just a bad habit that formed over the years, or something that somebody told me, and, you know, a long time ago. And I went through an exercise when I was a teenager, and I questioned everything that I knew, everything that I felt, everything that I wanted, everything that I believed.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that anything that I didn't have a really good reason for believing or feeling or whatever, it wasn't important to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there's some things that I didn't question, and I'm just discovering now in life that there's still things that I need to question, and there's still, you know, and there's stuff that comes every day from other people that, you know, people will try to fuel your fire.
Right. Well, and certainly our interesting thing with bad habits is one is when we can really embrace the bad habit, that's kind of the same thing. It's like, okay, I think I was kind of joking about this weeks ago on about our addiction to CSI, crime scene investigation, you know, watching that show and so just sort of recognizing, embracing, okay, you know what? It's like, boy, we're spending way too many hours watching CSI reruns, you know, in the evenings, and we want to transform some of that time into intimacy. Right, so even just recognizing and sort of embracing the habit, it doesn't mean necessarily we went cold turkey, but just sort of acknowledging it is sort of the first step in transforming it. And I'm also seeing here that a quality that may come up as far as, you know, when we talk about ourselves and not really embracing our own reality, that sort of points to the critic. And, of course, one thing that all humans do is we criticize. And we can look and say, well, you know, that critical part of me, you know, is both a gift and sometimes it can be an overactive gift, right? So good to be, you know, critical in some regards because it keeps us growing and keeps our edge sharp and, you know, kind of gets us inspired to go to the next level. And there's a place where it also can be debilitating, beat you up, it can paralyze you, it can make you lower your self-esteem. So it's sort of embracing the gift of any one of those qualities and even any one of the habits. You know, there's a gift in even watching CSI of all the crazy things. You know, the gift of snuggling on the couch with my honey to watch the show. And actually, one of the reasons I love CSI is because it is about reality ultimately. You know, it sort of starts out as, you know, who did it, and the people that you think were involved in the crime aren't necessarily the culprits, but the trail of evidence always leads to reality. And so it's a show about unfolding reality. Of course, now you can see why I got addicted to it. I want you all to know I've been much better. We're pretty much down to about once or twice a week, so you guys don't need to send in AA for us. So really good. So there's a way of really looking at how you can embrace all the aspects of yourself. And I think we'll have a call coming up probably in the next month or two around shadow stuff, and that's really where this can come into play. Really just whatever you're doing, just learning to love yourself, learning to love yourself.
Can you do me a favor and just explain to me how being critical can be a positive thing? I've spent a lot of time over the last few years replacing being critical with being understanding and putting myself in other people's place and seeing things from their perspective. And I found that it's given me a tremendous insight and understanding into how other people feel. And I've been able to replace a lot of, you know, feeling critical with understanding. So,
okay, so let's take critical and do you want to give a specific context for critical?
No, I just
okay. Okay, so let's take critical. So if I'm critical about, let's say I'm writing an article that I want to put out into the world, if I'm critical, then I may sharpen up a few sentences. I may raise the standards of the quality of what actually gets put out So it can actually have a positive effect in critical that, you know, now I can take it to another level. Or,
so you're talking about being critical of work or of things, not of people.
Well, it could be of anything. Critical of people, you know, let's say, I'll do it this way. If my husband is critical of me, let's say he's critical about how, I don't know, something that he would like me to do more of or less of around the house, I can take critical as feedback as, wow, you know, here's a piece of, in fact, case in point, my job is to season whatever goes on the barbecue, and his job is to cook it on the barbecue. And so recently he's basically, you know, being critical about how much pepper is going on to the seasoning, right? If he doesn't give me that feedback, then he's going to continue to have food that feels like it has more pepper on it than he would like, right? If I'm resistant of that feedback, and I'm choosing the feedback because it's, I like that word better, but it's also critical, you know, it's like, hey, I don't like this. Right? As a loving spouse, of course I want that feedback so that I can help support his happiness and pleasure and well-being, right? If I'm fighting it, saying, no, I'm not going to listen to you, or, you know, or take his feedback around, let's say, the pepper, as that I'm not a loving partner, he's not committed to me, or like all of a sudden I'm really leaving reality. The reality is, if we can take the feedback for what it is, just as it is, in this case, hey, can you use up on the pepper, or use a seasoning that doesn't have pepper in it, which was what was happening. It wasn't that I was adding so much pepper, it was part of the seasoning that I was choosing to use, which I liked. We're out of it now, so again, we're all good on that. And great, so I'm exploring different kinds of seasonings that don't involve pepper. That's what happens when you can embrace, you know, in this case, criticism in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
But the ego loves to dig its heels in, doesn't it? And say, you know, no, you know, but you've liked it this way for months. Well, it doesn't matter. In this moment, he's wanting less pepper. This is a good segue into some other patterns about how we can be with reality that aren't necessarily empowering. And I think most people, I know myself, before I was really onto this dance with reality, you know, I totally was indulging in each and every one of these not so empowering ways to be with reality. So did that give you some insight for how to be with criticism?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And I actually saw those aspects of criticism as feedback, and I didn't actually think of them as criticism. But I suppose there is, you could call it, you know, constructive criticism, right? And as long as you make sure that it's being received in the way that it's being offered, it works great.
Right, right. And we could also say, by the way, if somebody throws out some criticism about, hey, you know, I don't like the way you're doing this or that, can you do it different? It might also be, you know, actually, you know, really appreciate the request, and you might really take a stand for a boundary and say, and I'm going to continue to do it this way because this is more important. You know, and these are the reasons why, you know, and there, you know, maybe, you know, I'm thinking more with a business. In business, we often want to do things that are really going to support our clientele, and there are certain places where, you know, if somebody criticized me for not taking appointments on Monday or Friday, I would be like, okay, fair criticism that you're right, I'm not available on those times for appointments. But I am available here and here, and here's why I really need to reserve those times for me. All right. So sometimes criticism doesn't mean that we're supposed to just do whatever somebody says. they want. So let's just to acknowledge Gail's joining you, Juanita, with thanks. I need to resign as general manager of the universe too. Yes, can be a very useful thing. Okay, so let's do this here. We're going to talk here about these six ways to be with reality that are not empowering. And where I invite you, as we look at each one of these, is first off, is just notice in your own life where you may do this on occasion. Great if you can find at least one example where you've done it. Not to beat yourself up, but as a way to just gently be kind that, wow, it's like, okay, I get what that means. So here's the first thing that we can do, and that is we can add to reality. Adding to reality. I've got a simple formula for this. It's A plus B equals C. I know, very scientific. So the A here is the actual reality. You know, what exactly happened? B is the meaning, and C is the altered reality. So it's essentially what happened, A, plus whatever you're making up, I call it making stuff up, equals altered reality. So A is really the facts. You know, it's just that, an objective fact. It's either it's an event, it's a behavior, it's an action, it's a mood, an experience, it's reality. And the way we can identify the A or the facts is just that if we took, you know, 5-10 people, lined them up and said, okay, what's the reality of the situation? Everybody could get to kind of what the reality of the situation is. Let's say, you know, the car ran the red light. Okay. Or let's say, somebody canceled plans with you. Or your house is messy. Or, let's say, I didn't get a return phone call, right? So these are all examples of just basic facts. And reality, key thing to get here is reality is neutral. It just is. And anything that is not an objective fact is part of the meaning, story, or interpretation of the facts and is not reality. So let's go to B. So B is any meaning, story, interpretation, a thought that we make up. So we can point to, you know, something bad is somebody is suffering, and Juanita was pointing to the thought that, well, if somebody is suffering, then I can't feel good, right? Which is going to now change her reality because she's got that thought plus what's going on in the world, and that equation leads to suffering. Well, it did up until about 15 minutes ago. She's not going to do that anymore, or probably not nearly as much, right? So if we just take a look here, you know, A plus B equals C. So how many times have we had, in fact, just recently in one of my programs, somebody had put out a request to the forum and the group, and a certain somebody hadn't responded to it, even though the message was directly related to that person. And I was on the phone with the woman that put out the request, and she's like, well, you know, she didn't respond. I don't think she really likes me for whatever reason. We don't connect. I don't know what's there. So that was her made-up story, and that now equals the altered reality that, you know, wow, they don't have a connection. You know, the fact that she didn't respond means this. And, of course, I'm very big into always coming back to reality and saying, well, you know, is that really true? It's like, first off, we can't know what somebody's intentions were or not. And until there's evidence that comes out and somebody says, hey, I don't feel a connection with you, or I don't want to help you, maybe then we might take that under advisement. But sure enough, I think it was like the next day that the person responded and was really gracious, said, hey, give me a phone call. I would love to support you with this. And, you know, and voila. And so often, and here's another one where we add meaning to reality. Had this happen a million times where just recently we were going to be flying back for 2 weeks to spend in North Carolina with family, and we found out that there was a really important meeting that John was supposed to be at up in Northern California on the day after we were supposed to leave, which meant, oh, he was going to have to delay our plans 2 days, and that would mean less time with my father. And you know, I could make up this whole reality of, okay, so this isn't going to happen, and that's going to mean we're not going to have good quality time with my father, and that means John's not really committed to, you know, our family, and he's not committed to our vacation time, and my vacation's going to be a whole lot less, right? Here I'm adding a whole lot to reality. And what's, of course, I know happens is, well, reality is going to unfold as it does, and we'll see. It's like, so far I know John's invited to a certain meeting. He may go, he may not go. We haven't seen yet what will happen in reality. And as it turned out in this particular case, doesn't always, but sometimes, you know, he decided to let the CEO of his company and one other person handle that particular meeting, and then he ended up meeting with, a meeting with former Secretary of State George Shultz, which is a pretty important meeting, but turns out John got to meet with him a couple weeks later. He could have made up the story, oh, I'll never get the opportunity to meet with former Secretary of State George Shultz ever again, but he decided not to make up that reality. Just kind of, again, as we stick with reality, reality is dynamic. It's constantly unfolding. And if we can just simply allow it to unfold and meet each moment that it unfolds with fresh eyes, with excitement, like, okay, I guess this is my reality of the day, it can often very much surprise ourselves. So we can, as a little way to, how do you really separate out reality from meaning, story, and interpretation? Here's what you can do. I like to pull out a sheet of paper and draw a line down the middle. And then on the left-hand column, write fact. You could write fact or reality. On the right-hand column, write meaning, story, interpretation. And when you have a situation in life that you're feeling stressed about, or maybe it's something that happened in the past and you kind of want to tease out, okay, what am I making up about reality? What really happened? You can start to go through and identify, okay, somebody canceled plan, meaning, well, they don't want to be in a relationship with me. They don't like me. Or you might say, as an example of a fact, somebody's not paying full attention to me. So we might have the meaning that, oh, they're not listening to me. They don't love me. So just by taking that column, and you can kind of, do a little practice, is it reality? Is there something emotional? Is there some kind of judgment? Often there's a judgment as a big clue that you've gone into meaning, story, and interpretation. And I'll tell you, the very first time that this lesson hit me on the head is I was in a relationship, very challenging relationship, I have to say, and something had happened in the morning before both of us were, heading off to work, and he starts saying to me, it's like, you're making stuff up. He's like, you're making stuff up. And I'm like, I'm not making stuff up. It's like, it didn't click to me that I was taking whatever actions were occurring and putting some kind of spin that he didn't love me. He didn't care about me. And finally when it landed, went through my ego and my ego decided to actually take a look at this, I realized I was making up stuff all the time. And it can be very easy to do, not to either judge yourself or be harsh with yourself, but really notice, just, you know, where am I making up stuff? Something's going to be harder than I think, scarier, that I can't do something. All this kind of making stuff up. So, okay, so that's the first way that we can be with reality in a not-so-empowering way. Second, so I'll go through these next ones a little bit quicker. Second way is we distort reality. And distorting reality is we can do, we can either exaggerate it or we can minimize it. And a way to know that we're doing this is if we're bringing in absolutes. And an absolute is something like, you know, he never, so never, none, every, all, or any. So there's five of those. Any, all, every, none, never. So anytime we're using one of those absolute words, you know, he never calls me. You know, every time we talk, I get criticized. You know, all of the emails have been, mean. There's another, and here we go, mean. What's mean? Mean is adding to reality. Mean is adding some kind of interpretation. It's a judgment word. And there's certain words that are specifically judgment words. So want to kind of be on the lookout for that. But anytime we're exaggerating or minimizing something, right, this is the worst thing that's happened in my whole life. Or, you know, I'm completely messed up. This is impossible. You know, it's all their fault. Or it's all my fault. So it's somehow exaggerating or minimizing reality. All right. And an example of kind of a minimizing one is, you know, I don't care. Or they don't care. Right? It's like, again, it's very absolute. It's really distorting reality. So we want to just gently invite ourselves back. So third way that we can be with reality in a not-so-empowering way is to deny reality. So we can imagine the, you know, ostrich that puts its head in the sand. That's the exact metaphor here. It's like, no, 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 I can't hear you. I don't want to hear. Now, sometimes it can be useful to deny reality, but to the extent that denying reality is not supporting our dreams and goals, is not supporting our full self-expression, or if denying reality is creating any kind of internal suffering or stress, then we want to really look at this. So an example of, you know, if we pretend reality doesn't exist or ignore some or all of the relevant facts relating to the situation, then, you know, we might hold a belief that we can't effectively be with that reality. And the truth is we can actually handle way more than we think. So let's say, for example, a great example of this is, let's say, credit card debt. If I have $15,000 in credit card debt and I want to be fiscally responsible, my expenses are exceeding my income, and yet I'm not taking any concerted action to reduce expenses or increase my income, I'm denying reality, right? If I say there's certain qualities of ourselves, let's say I am selfish, righteous, judgmental, rude, disrespectful. At one time or another, we've all demonstrated these qualities. Often, if we're denying those qualities in ourselves, we're going to be reacting really strongly to those qualities in somebody else. So that might be a clue that we're denying some part of ourselves. There's another example. If you're carrying around 100 pounds of weight that you don't enjoy, there may be a part of denying reality there. If you're in a really unfulfilling relationship, and you have been for a period of time, and you're not doing anything to get out of that, there may be some denial in that relationship. So, you know, it's kind of a coping mechanism, but the more we can just face reality head on, really, the more choices begin to open up for us. So just check and see if there's any place that you may be denying reality. Well, let's go to the fourth key, the fourth way that we can be with reality in a not-so-empowering way, and that is to try and perfect reality. And those of you that just recently resigned as general managers of the universe, this is what you've been doing, trying to perfect reality, adding a big should or supposed to, you know, to the world. It's like, you know, life will be better if nobody is suffering, right? You know, thinking, well, people should be nice. Well, sometimes people are nice and sometimes they're not. You know, it's just reality. Maybe we get upset at the government because, well, they should have passed a certain law, but they didn't. You know, it's, again, the clues that we're trying to perfect reality is we're adding a should or some kind of supposed to. You know, there's some kind of rule that something is supposed to happen in order for you to be okay or for you to be at peace. So look and, you know, look and see if there's any way that you've wanted to perfect reality. And, of course, it's, you know, we might think, well, you know, something should have happened. It's, you know, we may say that. But if we get attached to, no, you know, my husband should have responded to me in this way. It's like, well, what's the reality of the situation? He responded as he did. I can continue to think that reality should be different, and all it's going to do is create stress and suffering and separation in our relationship. Not so much fun. Okay, so then let's go to the fifth way that we can be with reality in a not-so-empowering way. That is arguing with reality. And the clue we know that we're arguing with reality is there's more of a, you know, it shouldn't be this way, or it wasn't supposed to happen. Or, you know, it's, you know, just fighting what is happening here and now. You know, losing money in the stock market. It's like, okay, you know, it's either lost or it's not lost. And, you know, continuing to beat yourself up, it's sort of like taking a sledgehammer and continuing to beat yourself over and over and over again. It's like, let's just keep arguing with reality. As Byron Katie says, you know, when we argue with reality, we lose, but only 100% of the time. You know, maybe it's, you know, I shouldn't have to be experiencing this. It's like, well, you know, you are. You know, whatever, you know, this is what it is. So the quicker we can adapt and begin our dance with reality and to say, okay, this wasn't, you know, the communication I wanted, or, you know, plans didn't unfold, or somebody didn't respond in the way I wanted, and this is how it is right now. What am I going to do in this moment? What conscious choice can I make? Coming back to the here and the now, and really getting that all stress is a result of mentally arguing with reality. Right? Those of you that have challenges with other people, you know, being with them, in a way, you're arguing with reality. You know, people behave a certain way. They do what, not living into the fantasy of who you want them to be. It's kind of like saying, you know, don't be who you are. Don't be who you are. Oh, my, I used to, as a way to dance with this with my mom has been known to be critical, and she can be a really good backseat driver, particularly when her husband is driving. And I remember one time when I'm in the backseat And, you know, here she was, you know, kind of doing what she does in the car. And instead of, you know, getting upset and, oh, you know, here she is again, you know, giving her husband a hard time and, you know, making it unpleasant for him. And I don't enjoy listening to this. And, gosh, she shouldn't be doing that. Instead, I'm like, oh, there's my mom being my mom. And just, like, appreciating her for just, you know, for just doing, you know, just doing what felt natural to her in the moment. And then out of that space of accepting, okay, she's just being who she is, then I'm in a connected place, and I might actually make a connected, loving comment. Maybe I would redirect the conversation to something else, or maybe make a reassuring comment that, you know, I think Candy's got it, you know. He's good, you know, say something kind of soothing, but I'm going to be doing it out of a place of connection instead of out of a place of, ah, mom, stop doing this. How do most people respond when somebody comes, you know, when you use a more stern voice and, you know, you're all upset because you're arguing with reality? Very different. We don't have to like reality, but if we can stop the argument, we come back to a place of peace, we can make really stronger requests. And then finally, the last way that we can be with reality in a not-so-empowering way is forecasting reality. And what forecasting reality is about, it's about attaching to a future reality. And then, well, if we attach to a future reality, we kind of set ourselves up for the potential of disappointment. You know, it takes us away from the free flow of life unfolding. We get really certain, you know, super attached to certain events unfolding in a certain way, then, boy, recipe for disaster versus, well, I can put my intentions out there, but if I can hold them loosely and allow them to unfold in the natural way and continue to just meet reality as it's showing up, kind of one step at a time, then I can maintain that calm sense of peace and calm and be able to navigate whatever's going to come my way. I'm trying to think of maybe a Conversations with the Masters call. One of my guests came on and you know, was being a little feisty, shall we say. I don't want to point names. But instead of going, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, this person is treating me in this way, and then getting defensive, you know, I met what was happening in the moment with fresh eyes, didn't be attached that it's got to go a certain way or not, and you just dance in the moment. Sometimes surprises pop up along the way, can be in the middle of a move, and, you know, if you, I think sometimes my husband can get attached to electronics working reliably, and guess what? When they don't, boy, I know a lot of pain and suffering can happen. So that's both attaching to a future reality, in that case, probably also arguing with reality. And in that case, could also be about adding meaning to reality, right? Technology is not working. I add the meaning. Oh, that means I'm not going to get this project done. That means this is broken forever. That means I'm never going to fix this. That means it's going to take hours and hours to fix. Right, very quickly we can see how we can, you know, leave reality and blossom it up. It's also an example of exaggerating and distorting reality, making it worse than it is. Right, so some examples of dancing with reality can actually embrace all six of these. Of course, you can guess there's lots of stress associated with that in the process. So, as we've been going through these, you can, hopefully you've been making some mental notes and just, checking and seeing, you know, how you may be adding to reality, how you may be distorting reality from time to time, making it worse than it is, or minimizing it in some way. Maybe how you've denied some aspect of reality. How it can be fun to try and perfect reality, adding a big should or a supposed to. How we can argue with reality, thinking something shouldn't have happened or wasn't supposed to happen. Or how we can forecast reality and, you know, get attaching to a future reality, trying to predict things, which, I don't know, doesn't always work so well for me. I like to set those intentions, hold them loosely, and go from there. So in a minute, I want to open up the lines for those of you that are on the listening line. If you're listening in the forum, you can add a comment answering this question, which is the level of reality that you resist the most. So one of these six, adding to it, distorting, denying, perfecting, arguing, forecasting. So just check a note, and as you're thinking about that answer, I just want to say that as we're dancing with reality, really getting that it's dynamic and changing, that if we kind of keep coming back to a place of awareness and keep really looking, you know, what really is the reality of the situation? If we can keep reminding ourselves that we're always at choice, if we can be listening to our own intuition and, you know, kind of just following, I like to call it following the simple directions, you know, just allowing ourselves to, you know, respond to the intuition that's rolling in the moment instead of mapping everything out. And if you can step into the I don't know mind, so like the example I used with the gal who thought that when a colleague didn't respond to her email, that meant there was a disconnection, that meant she didn't want to help, that meant there was some kind of attitude going on. Instead, coming back to, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Maybe she's busy. Maybe, you know, maybe she really wanted to put together a thoughtful reply. Maybe, maybe she's actually typing an email right now. Maybe she didn't get the email, right? So, you know, stepping into that I don't know, I would much rather stand in I don't know than to attach myself to some story that is going to lead to more suffering. It's sort of actually kind of insane to kind of keep doing that. So I like to play the reality game, kind of keep stepping back, and then kind of the last key in dancing with reality is just less attachment. Well, you know, and I'm speaking to this, there's some things that we've kind of got coming up in the next few months, and just noticing a little bit of attachment and noticing that, boy, maybe I ought to let go of that attachment because it will open up more options for me instead of, you know, really trying to, you know, force a certain something to happen on a certain kind of timeline. Okay, so I'm going to open up the lines here. We got lines open. If you've got any background noise, you can press star 6. If you'd like to, I'd love a couple of you to jump in and say, you know, which of these six do you end up resisting the most? Who would like to jump in?
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
I can't really say. The problem is that I'm torn between agreeing with you and disagreeing with you.
Okay, great. I love it.
On one hand, I agree with you 100%. On the other hand, every once in a while, I have to wonder if I'm just accepting everything the way it is, the reality for the reality it is.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you're famous.
Am I, you know,
okay,
lethargic and just, you
so,
know, letting
yeah
things be and just...
Exactly. Okay. I'm so glad you brought this up because actually I meant to kind of speak to this actually before, and your question made sure that I got this covered. So see, here's a great way of dancing with reality. First off, I want to be really, really clear that accepting reality does not mean we're condoning it, right? So when people lie, cheat, steal, make mistakes, crimes happen, we're not condoning it. We're not saying, oh, everything's okay, la, 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 you know, whatever happens is fine. It's like we're not condoning it. We're also not being passive, right? So this doesn't mean we're just, whatever happens, we just have to, you know, we just have to take it. Somebody raises their voice at us or, you know, does something that feels abusive. No. It's like, it's not about not being passive. It's about seeing something for what it is and then out of that moment making a conscious choice about how to be with that reality. If somebody is being verbally abusive, you might stop and interrupt them and say, you know, I can tell you want to communicate something really important, and I'm really having a hard time hearing you in the voice you're communicating in. Can you try saying what you're saying in a different tone of voice? Right? Of course, if I'm fighting reality, my voice is probably not going to sound that calm, right?
Right.
Yep, for sure not. trust me. You can ask John. It's not like I do this perfectly either. You know, we can all get
perfect.
No. We can all get caught up in this for sure. And when it's happening, we can notice it's like, wow, it's like I'm really fighting it. So there's a way where we can come back to a place of awareness, kind of step back and say, okay, it's like, you know, again, begin to just see reality of what's going on, even the reality of what's going on inside of myself. It's like, boy, I'm really attaching to a thought that if this doesn't change, that life as I know it is going to be over. All right? So it's not about condoning it. It's not about being passive. It's also not about letting somebody off the hook. You know, but to really get, first off, your responsibility is you. So if it's not your job to make sure somebody corrects their nasty behavior or to, you know, make sure that they're honest or successful or understands your viewpoint, but you are your own responsibility, you know, and it's like if you can come back in a grounded place of reality, somebody can be totally upset and everything else, and you're going to be in a calmer, more grounded way in which to navigate through whatever situation is arising.
Well, thank you.
Does that address what you were?
Yes.
Good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And to really get here, I mean, and this is a big one, you know, we can't control other people. We can't control things going on in the world. You know, we can't control wars happening, laws. I mean, we can do things to influence certain things, but we got to really be clear what we can control and what we can't. And what we can always control, well, not always control, is our starting with awareness and dropping back. We can always choose to breathe. You know, what can I do to just bring myself back in this moment and first off get in the reality of this moment that all is well, I'm okay. Like I'm actually really okay. I'm making up a story maybe right now that things aren't going to be okay, or if something doesn't change that means I'm going to get a divorce, or you know, my business is going to go down the tubes if you know, certain something doesn't happen. So is there any of the six ways that we pointed to that that you would like to pay a little bit more attention to over the coming week?
Not especially. It was really that conflict that I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
I need to work out.
Okay.